Well, welcome everybody. This is now the fourth week of our series called Worth It, Five Reasons Faith Deserves Your Best. Any good thing in life requires your best. You can't get ahead in your career or at school without hard work. Family life takes sacrifice, and achieving personal goals demands grit and determination. Well, the same is true with faith. That's why in this series, we're looking at five good reasons why devoting more of your life to God makes sense. And so far, we've said that faith comes with certain risks. Believing in something you can't see is a little risky. What if things don't work out? But as we said, the rewards of faith far outweigh those risks. We also said that faith takes commitment and perseverance, hard work, and diligence, but God's promises are worth pursuing because God is worth pursuing. And then last week, we saw how faith leads to good choices, and good choices build a good character, and when you have a strong character, God can trust you with more. More responsibility for his kingdom and greater blessings in your own life. That's why making the decision for faith is worth it. Today we're going to look at a fourth reason why God deserves your best. I want to talk with you today about worth the trade. One of my favorite TV shows growing up was The Jeffersons. The young people probably have no idea what I'm talking about, but some of you do. It was about an African-American family who moved from a working-class neighborhood to a deluxe apartment in the sky on Manhattan's Upper East Side. The theme song of that show was all about how they were moving on up in life. Well, we all want to move up in life, don't we? We all want more happiness and fulfillment, more money and success, more enjoyment, more peace, more accomplishment. But those things often require certain trade-offs. In life, we're always making trades. Some people trade time for money. Weekends for careers, sleep for success, family life for promotions, and health for greater achievement. The question is not whether you're trading one thing for another. The question is whether what you're gaining is worth more than what you're giving up. Well, there is one trade in your life that you will never, ever regret: giving more of yourself to God. Taking a deeper dive into faith and spending and getting a little more serious about your spiritual life. It may come with a cost, things you have to hand over or trade, but in the end, choosing the greater joy and peace and purpose that come with faith, it's without a doubt worth the trade. In today's gospel, Jesus had just given Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven, entrusted him with great authority over the church. But now he needed to show Peter and the other disciples how that trade would come with a cost. He told them that the religious leaders in Jerusalem would reject him and persecute him and even put him to death. Well, that was not good news, and Peter definitely didn't want to hear it. He took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you." Now, Peter meant well. He loved Jesus and had given up everything to follow him. He just couldn't understand how a powerful king like Jesus, the Messiah, would be willing to allow himself to suffer and die. It didn't make sense. Jesus did say that he would also be raised on the third day, but that seems to have gone in one ear and out the other. It barely even registered with Peter. So Jesus said to Peter in reply, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." It was like when Jesus was in the desert and the enemy tried to persuade him to abandon his mission and give up his God-given destiny. Three times the devil tempted Jesus, told him to turned stones into bread and took him to a high mountain and promised him all the kingdoms of the world if he would worship him, dared Jesus to jump off the roof of the temple in front of everyone so he could show that God's angels would come to his rescue and save him. But Jesus knew that he didn't need to perform a miracle. He didn't have to have money, power, or possessions. He didn't need to win the approval of the crowd to prove himself. He didn't take the bait back then. He certainly wasn't going to take the bait now, because he knew that some things are just not worth trading. I learned this the hard way in college. I met a girl named Tracy. We were both pre-med students and wanted to be doctors one day, hoping to be doctors one day. And we took the same math and science classes, sat next to each other in those large lecture halls, and shared notes with one another. Tracy was always so committed to her schoolwork and devoted to her studies. Well, when we took organic chemistry lab in our sophomore year, a killer course, we were lab partners. I was completely lost, but Tracy knew exactly what she was doing. She was always prepared, always ready for success. And fortunately, she didn't mind helping me when I couldn't figure things out, which was pretty much all the time, at least in that class. She knew how to set up a reflux apparatus, perform a liquid-liquid extraction. You get what I'm saying here? She could even run a thin layer chromatography. I thought that was so attractive. Plus, she looked really cute in those goggles. So I felt a crush coming on and worked up the courage to ask her out. Well, she was very polite, but turned me down and said she had to stay focused on getting into medical school and becoming a doctor. She didn't have a social life or hobbies or any other commitments that would distract her from her dream. Well, I got over the rejection. We stayed friends. But after college, I lost track of Tracy. Years later, she passed through my mind and I Googled her. And sure enough, she had gone on to medical school and accomplished everything that God had put in her heart. Today, she's a successful pediatrician with a thriving practice. Her dedication came with a sacrifice, with lots of sacrifices, especially having to give up a date with me. But Tracy had already, that's a huge sacrifice, but Tracy, and don't get any ideas, ladies, off the table. Anyway, but Tracy had already made the decision that her single-minded determination to achieve her goals was worth the trade. Is God asking you to make a trade for him? Maybe putting something else on the shelf for right now and pursuing a thought or a dream in your mind or heart. Maybe it's starting your own business or going back to school or learning a new language, traveling the world, moving closer to your children, becoming a blessing for other people, serving in a ministry or joining a small group or changing careers or maybe just forgiving someone who has hurt you. Just like with Jesus, whatever that dream is in your heart, the enemy is going to whisper, don't do it. You're going to lose ground. You'll end up worse off. You'll regret this decision the rest of your life. Don't believe those lies. Jesus didn't believe them, and neither should you. And I can promise you this. As long as the dream in your heart is from God, it is definitely worth the trade. We see this in the life of Jeremiah. As a teenager, God called him to be a prophet, to speak the truth in difficult times. And Jeremiah was overwhelmed with fear and self-doubt. He protested, said he couldn't do it. He wasn't qualified. He didn't have the training. He couldn't speak well. But God told him not to be afraid, said he would always be with Jeremiah, watching over him and protecting him. But Jeremiah suffered a lot in his ministry. He was mocked and beaten, thrown into jail, cast into a dark pit, and condemned to death, and eventually forced into exile. And you think you've had some bad days. Well, that's why in today's first reading, Jeremiah cried out, "You duped me, O Lord. And I let myself be duped. You were too strong for me and you triumphed. All the day I am an object of laughter. Everyone mocks me. Jeremiah was saying, God, this isn't what I signed up for. He had done everything that God had asked, and if anyone had reason to quit, it would be Jeremiah. But then he realized something. He said, I say to myself, I will not mention him. I will speak in God's name no more. But then it becomes like fire burning in my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grow wary holding it in. I cannot endure it. Jeremiah discovered that not following God's call, not doing what he asks, not making the right trades for him, comes at an even greater cost. Being a prophet was hard, but it had become part of his identity. And so to stop preaching, to stop prophesying, to stop speaking in God's name would be to stop being himself. When you trade everything for what God is asking you to do, it's easy to feel like Jeremiah, like you're losing out, right? All your friends are having fun while you're up all night taking care of that new baby. Or they're out on the town enjoying the pleasures of life while you're working 2 or 3 hours or overtime just to try to make ends meet and support your family. You've left a lot of money on the table to pursue a meaningful career while they're banking lots and lots of cash. You're serving and giving and loving and learning and growing while they're just doing whatever they feel like. But the truth is, you are the one who is gaining. In the gospel, Jesus went on to talk about the best trade ever, becoming his disciple. He said, it takes commitment and dedication. It's not always easy, but the upside is more than you can imagine. He said, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. When you're willing to make that trade, you'll have something that most people never experience. The tremendous satisfaction of knowing that you are becoming the person God created you to be. Jesus put it this way, what profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? That exchange, giving up lesser things to have a more meaningful life with God, it's worth the trade. There was a man named Tom Monahan. He grew up in a small farmhouse in Michigan and had a lot of misfortune. His father, when he was just 4 years old, passed away suddenly on Christmas Eve, leaving the family completely destitute. Tom's mother had no way of taking care of 2 small toddlers. She had like $20 to her name at that point. And so to protect them and rebuild their lives, she sent Tom and his younger brother to an orphanage run by nuns while she went back to school. Well, when she graduated years later, she brought the family back together. But Tom suffered a lot as a child, and yet he became a great success in life. He bought a small pizza shop for a few $100s, and through hard work and sacrifice, that tiny store became none other than Domino's Pizza. You kids have probably never heard of Domino's Pizza. Yeah, all right, Domino's Pizza. It's one of the largest and most successful pizza chains in the world. And suddenly, Tom was wealthy. He bought the Detroit Tigers. I think that's a baseball team. He bought the Detroit Tigers. He bought a fleet of private jets and even an ultra-rare $8 million Bugatti luxury automobile. I've never heard of an $8 million car. By all accounts, Tom had achieved the American dream and more. But he started wondering whether it was all worth it. Something rose up on the inside and told him to stop building a bigger and bigger kingdom for himself and start building God's kingdom. Well, he listened to that voice and he sold his company for $1 billion with a B, and he gave most of that money away to good causes. He supported Catholic schools and ministries, and even established a Catholic university in Florida. A lot of people question that decision. He could have made so much more money. But when God calls you to find your life by losing it and becoming his disciple, the cost is worth every penny. The sacrifice, the commitment is worth the sacrifice, and the trade is more than worth it. Paul says in today's second reading, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. What he means is dedicating your everyday life to the kind of life that God wants you to live, not the life you want to have. And that may come with some costs, but what you're giving up is nothing compared to the value of what you will gain. Freedom and healing, peace and joy, renewal and restoration, grace and favor and transformation in every aspect of your life. What Paul says is good, pleasing, and perfect. Every day, you make trades. I make trades. The question is, are you trading up or trading down? Faith is not cheap, but it is valuable. And I promise you this, when you're willing to make that trade, that's when you'll start living your best life, because that trade is worth it.